gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As goes Wisconsin with host Chris.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. There's big trouble at some hospitals in five states, as we hear from CBS's Jim Krasula.
A cyber attack is affecting facilities operated by Prospect Medical Holdings. It has hospitals and clinics in California, Texas, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. Ambulances are having to be diverted, and things like elective surgeries and outpatient appointments have had to be canceled.
A reenactment of an awful day at the high school in Parkland, Florida, where a gunman killed 17 people in 2018. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez says weapons experts are staging it as part of a civil suit involving the school resource officer Scott Peterson, who was accused of not acting as the attack took place.
He has said all along that he did not know where the shots were coming from, but parents have said, look, he had to have known which building they were coming from and at least gone inside to check. So what they're trying to do is see what he may have heard out there.
Peterson was acquitted in a criminal case. Nine members of Congress toured the school building earlier today. In New York's Gilgo Beach murder investigation, DA Ray Tierney says some remains dating back to 1996 have been identified as Karen Vergata.
The FBI was able, via a genetic genealogy review, to identify Ms. Vergata as Fire Island Jane Doe.
The Gilgo Beach suspect has been charged with three killings and is the prime suspect in a fourth. Overseas, a court in Moscow has sentenced jailed opposition leader Alexei Navalny to an additional 19 years in prison. Reporter Mary Ilushnia.
They're accusing him of essentially creating an extremist community organization inside of Russia, and they referred to his anti-corruption foundation and his regional headquarters that were all shut down in 2021.
Political and court calendars jam up for former President Trump. CBS's Robert Costa covered his arraignment yesterday on federal charges.
The judge has set the next hearing for August 28th. That's 5 days after the upcoming first Republican primary debate. Trump has not yet said whether he will attend, though he has said he's leaning against it.
It's been hot on land. We all know that, shattering records. And in the water, too, as we hear from CBS's Cammy McCormick.
The European Union Climate Observatory says the world's oceans set a record temperature in the past week of nearly 70 degrees. That is far above the average for this time of year. The previous record was set in 2016.
The government says employers added 187,000 jobs last month. And checking Wall Street, the Dow is up 222 points. NASDAQ is ahead 125. The S&P up 28. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
What's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard? This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 200 workers will soon be out of a job at the University of Wisconsin in Oshkosh. As Pete Schwabe reports, many others will have to take unpaid time off this fall.
UW Oshkosh is expected to have a record $18 million deficit by the end of fiscal year 2024. Enrollment is down 3%, and the UW system is getting less support from the state. That's forcing UWO to let 200 staff and administrators go. They'll get pink slips this fall. Faculty positions won't be cut, but professors can expect to teach more classes. Some programs may be discontinued. Most UW schools will be in the red a year from now. UW System President Jay Rothman says the cuts are unfortunate, but the university has no choice. State Senator Kelda Royce tells the Cap Times the UW system needs more money. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
Voters in Wisconsin may have a new design for absentee ballots and envelopes after today. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is holding a special meeting this afternoon. Commissioners could vote on a redesign the commission staff members have been working on since spring. They got input from everyone from voters to election clerks to the post office. Absentee ballots have been a bone of contention in recent years. Supporters say absentee and early voting make the process accessible to more people. Critics say absentee voting makes it too easy to commit election fraud. Communities around Wisconsin are getting hundreds of millions of dollars to fight the opioid epidemic. Luke Mathers has more.
Wisconsin got $700 million to settle a multi-state lawsuit against drug companies for their role in creating the nationwide opioid epidemic. Attorney General Josh Call says 70% of that money is going to local police and health departments. They'll use it for prevention, treatment, and enforcement. Tim Carahan is superintendent of the Wisconsin State Patrol.
Without the intervention of officers, the opioid crisis would be even more destructive. Law enforcement access to naloxone or Narcan means an overdose call has the potential to become an opportunity for recovery.
30% of the settlement money goes to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services for outreach programs. Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
The family of Travis King is pleading for his safe return. The soldier from Racine has been in North Korean captivity since crossing the border with South Korea last month. They held signs as Vice President Kamala Harris's motorcade made its way through southeast Wisconsin yesterday. King's uncle is Myron Gates. He says he noted a big change in his nephew's behavior before the incident.
The messages became strange. I was like, "You okay?" And he's telling me, "No, they're trying to kill me."
Vice President Harris says the Biden administration is doing everything it can. Back to school time is coming soon, and that can be stressful for kids on the autism spectrum. Terry D. reports now on some helpful strategies.
Aaron Skaggs with Easter Seals believes some action in advance of the first day of school can make a difference.
They always recommend to start with your school, contact the counselor or social worker about setting up a one-on-one school tour. It really can help alleviate some of those questions kids have and parents about where their child will be going on that first day.
Skaggs suggests the child also have a one-on-one meeting with the teacher and with parents present before the school year starts to address any necessary accommodations. She adds letting the child choose their own school supplies and clothing gives them a sense of control and can have a positive impact. I'm Terry D. reporting.
Children under 18 will need to be with a parent if they want to get into the Wisconsin State Fair after 5 in the evening. Fair officials say it's to make sure that groups of unsupervised teenagers don't cause trouble. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. An old Southside Milwaukee sausage factory could soon be apartments. Hintz Holdings has acquired the former Clements Sausage properties on Milwaukee's south side, totaling almost 3 acres. At this point, there are no specific development plans, but the company is working with the city and intends to seek neighborhood input before deciding on potential concepts that could include apartments. Residents of a Glendale apartment complex have filed a class action lawsuit against the complex owners. The lawsuit comes after elevated levels of a toxic and cancer-causing chemical trichloroethylene were found inside those apartments. The lawsuit alleges that the owners were aware of the increased risk of TCE in Building Number 3 due to testing conducted in 2021. Severe thunderstorms caused damage yesterday in Manitowoc. The storms uprooted trees and brought down power lines. There were no reports of serious injuries. Forecasters are investigating whether there was a tornado. There is now a chance for the entire area to be impacted by severe weather on Sunday. The cutoff time for teens and kids to be at the state fair is an hour earlier than it was. State fair officials today made the change to try and stop unruly individuals from creating problems, like what's happened at fairs and festivals in the area already this summer. To get in, anyone under the age of 18 must be with a parent or guardian after 5 p.m. Tonight's main stage acts at the fair are Shaggy and Salt and Peppa. Tomorrow, puppeteer Jeff Dunham takes the stage. On Sunday, there's a throwback act. Tommy James and the Shondells will perform. Unlike Summerfest, you can use cash at the state fair. Brookfield police are looking for 2 women, likely with great skin, and almost $5,000 in stolen beauty supplies from Sephora. Images of the suspects involved at the theft from Kohl's on 124th and North are online. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. The weekend has finally arrived. As a high pressure sits over Lake Superior today, we will sit under mostly sunny skies with refreshing winds out of the northeast. A lake breeze up to 15 miles per hour will keep the shore hitting highs in the 70s. Meanwhile, calmer inland winds will allow highs to rise a bit warmer into the mid-80s. The good news is no humidity like we've been recently sweating to. Overnight, some fog builds in around the southern parts of Lake Michigan, and lows fall statewide into the 60s. Some showers may swipe the southern state line by Saturday morning, but the main rain event holds off until Sunday, where we are looking at a quarter of an inch to a half an inch to fall in the north, and nearly an inch may drench the southern half of the state. Some severe storms are also possible, with the Storm Prediction Center issuing a slight risk for the very southeast counties of the state on Sunday. Have a fantastic Friday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers' bats beat the Bucks. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers put on a show for a nationwide audience last night on Fox Sports, especially the young guys like Sal Frelick and second baseman Bryce Terang.
Swings and launches one deep to right field. Long gone for the rookie, his fifth. A three-run blast, 8-1 Brewers.
The Brewers went on to beat the Pirates 14-1 at AmFam Field. Christian Yelich went 3-for-4 with two runs batted in. The Cubs beat the Reds 5-3, and that gave Milwaukee a half-game lead in the NL Central. The Cubs are now just 2.5 games behind. Game 2 of the series with the Brewers and Pirates is tonight. On Sunday, Brandon Woodruff expected to get his first start after being out since April 7th with a shoulder injury. Last night in the NFL, the stadium lights went out for 15 minutes just before the start of the fourth quarter at the Hall of Fame game in Canton. You'll remember the Packers and Colts Hall of Fame game back in 2016 was canceled after paint on the field had turned to rock in the hot sun. The Browns came back to beat the Jets last night, a final score of 21-16. Jets quarterback Zach Wilson hit former Packers receiver Malik Taylor on a 57-yard bomb that set up a field goal in the first half. In Green Bay, the Packers practiced in pads for over 2 hours in 91-degree heat. For the first time in camp, the offense finally won the competition period. After practice, Matt LaFleur went live on the NFL Network and was asked how Jordan Love is doing.
You know, I see a lot of growth, and I see it every day, and our guys are competing hard. Today was a really good practice for us in terms of just battling through some heat, battling through some adversity. We had a, you know, full tackle to the ground period right there, which is something that we haven't done in the past. So I like the mentality of this team, and guys are, they're not just punching the clock. They're being intentional about their work, and I think they're getting better every day.
The Packers rookie place kicker, Anders Carlson, missing 2 of 3 kicks from around the 43-yard line.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's the past 2 days, and that's frustrating. But I'm not seeing, like, it's a trend or anything. But obviously, yeah, in a game, it's one shot, one kill. We're just talking about that, and, you know, I got to put a better emphasis on it.
And Wisconsin native and former Badger J.J. Watt was on the Dan Patrick Show.
How close were you to playing for the Packers?
Oh, wow, you're really going in it right away. It's a story for another day, but it would have been awesome.
Well, why for another day?
I have to get more information about it before I really talk about it more, but it would have been cool.
Yeah, I thought that seemed like able to go back home and that it was going to be a big deal to be able to do that, or at least try to do that. So
obviously, yeah, it wasn't really an option. That's all I'll say.
That's J.J. Watt with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge. By cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me. And I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Mainly sunny skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 82. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 62. Tonight, partly cloudy. A mix of clouds and sun again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 83. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Sunday. Chance for scattered showers on Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 79 degrees.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. Joined by the squad on a Friday afternoon, the absolute best Wednesday of the week. We got Luke Mathers. Luke, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. It's Friday. The weekend is upon us. We're just gonna have a grand old show here on Town Call. I'm going to kick your ass in some Wisconsin headlines, and we're going to go have ourselves a weekend.
We will see about that. I have oiled up the ref a little bit. Aaron on the board. Aaron, how are you doing today?
Well, if you've oiled up the ref, this is the first the ref's heard of it.
Check your...
Your Venmo?
Actually, no.
What? What were you going to say? Check your Venmo?
I was going to say check your pocket, but then I realized like I live 90 minutes away and the two of you are like
three steps away from each other.
I simply
walking into the studio today, I was like, hey, Aaron, like how are we feeling? You're like, you feeling, you want a story told to you today? You just want one really good headline? And he's like, hey, man, no comment. And I was like, I was just seeing how the ref's day was, and like you do before a game. And Aaron was like, no, this is going to be impartial. I'm not going to have any semblance of impropriety in my judging today. And I was like, wow. That's a really refreshing view. I wish we had someone like Aaron on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, so do I. But that sounds like the type of story, Luke, that somebody who did butter up an official would come back and immediately say.
No, he wouldn't let me.
I was just trying to see
how his day was going and how he was feeling, how maybe he would be, making the calls today. And he had none of it, Will. He had none of it.
I thought you're not supposed to say how you're going to rule before you're in office.
I didn't ask how you were going to rule. I simply asked what you were looking for today. Like, just some pointers, you know, just that's all. That's
Aaron's going to have to recuse himself from the...
It's okay. Even when you bring in a judge, I do all right. And folks, if you missed that, you can check out last Friday's edition of Town Call over on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, or wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, all of the great ones. Town Call. Check out the podcast. Let's get into it, Will. I went first last week. The floor is all yours for the most Wisconsin headlines. I guess let me give it one plug. Folks, if you want to share a very Wisconsin headline with us today, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. The floor is yours, Sir William.
All right. I'm going to start with a piece over from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel because we're giving a shout out to a friend of the show. Here are the participants in Milwaukee's celebrity softball game. Milwaukee Ooh. County Executive David Crowley is hosting a celebrity softball game and tailgate on Saturday as part of the Healthy County Challenge, Crowley's initiative aimed at bringing residents into parks and outdoor space to foster physical and mental wellness. The inaugural Summer's Healthiest Tailgate and Celebrity Softball Game will get underway noon at Rose Park. And the local celebrities participating from Team Crowley, of course, David Crowley, Milwaukee County Executive. But number two on that list is our friend Dan Schaefer, local Milwaukee journalist, making the cut for the celebrity softball game. Congratulations, Dan. I'm a little disappointed that I didn't get an offer because I would have loved to toss that team on my back. Dan and I can go out there and run some softball games. But that's all right. I have full faith in team. Well, it's not Team Schaefer, but I'm going to call it Team Schaefer as the friend of the show.
I think we've all got the I think we can all take away with the fact that you did not get an invite. It speaks volumes, Will. It speaks volumes.
In my defense, I am not in Milwaukee either way. So, I understand.
In your defense, I don't know if you break the threshold of celebrity to be invited to the celebrity softball game.
I most certainly do not, but I didn't want to be the one to say that. I wanted to exude confidence and it's the old Twitter
joke.
If you act like you belong, nobody's going to question it, right? So I was more just like acting like I belonged, so that maybe throw a hard
hat
on and
a high
vis.
Even though you didn't get the invite, you were just acting like you belonged. Okay. All right, that's
a state of mind,
one.
Luke. It's a state of mind.
Is that a most Wisconsin headline? I don't know, folks. You be the judge. 844-967-2789. You can share your most Wisconsin headlines of the week. And I hate to be a Debbie Downer 2 weeks in a row, Will. Last week we started off with an important story discussing the coverage of Congressman Derek Van Orden's allegedly, possibly drunken yelling at Senate pages last week in the Capitol Rotunda.
You did take the freebie last week.
One of the downsides of Wisconsin culture, the heavy reliance on drinking that we have as a state, it can sometimes be a really great thing. We have all of these amazing craft breweries. We have the some of the best beers in the world, in my opinion. But then the other side of that coin is the sometimes, far too often, negatives that come with excessive drinking. And unfortunately, this one caught my eye as a very Wisconsin headline of the week as well, because of that. This one, originally published at Wisconsin Watch, our friends over there at Wisconsin Watch, headline: Wisconsin's death grip with alcohol is killing more residents. Excessive alcohol use is taking a heavy toll in a state that celebrates its drinking culture. So this one, unfortunately, all too of a Wisconsin headline, Will, discussing the ramifications of what that very heavily reliant drinking culture, the toll that takes on our state here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's a really good point, Luca. Something, you know, that I've discussed in the past is my history working within the fitness industry. And you see that a lot, not just in terms of health. Obviously, it is your overall health. But there was a lot of individuals who, you know, they would come in, they would have a great workout, burn a whole ton of calories. They'd be sweating. They'd be feeling really good. And then, you know, they earned it. So they'd head over to the bar and put down a couple of cold ones. And, you know, don't get me wrong. Everything in moderation is okay. Most everything in moderation is acceptable. You know, technically you can overdose on water if you were to drink too much. We see it all the time with those competitions, you know, hold your hand on the car and drink as much water as you can. Last person touching the car wins type deal. Where if even something that's as necessary as anything else to human survival, you can overdose on. But, you know, we gotta be, the culture does go a little too hard with alcohol very frequently. And you have to understand the ramifications that some of these things have on your body.
Yeah, and the Wisconsin Watch piece does outline about one-third of Wisconsin adults in 2019 reported binge drinking in the previous month, more than any other state except North Dakota. The thirst has proved deadly. Wisconsin experienced 1,077 alcohol-induced deaths in 2020, up from 865 in 2019, a Wisconsin Policy Forum report found. The tally included death tolls from poisoning and certain liver, digestive, and neurological diseases. It excluded accidents, falls, cancers, and suicide. It's a nearly 25% increase, with the biggest one-year jump in two decades. So this is a problem that takes a real toll on Wisconsinites as well. So yes, please drink responsibly. I don't think it will ever not be a part of Wisconsin's culture for the beer and cheese scene that we have here in the state, but we need to do so responsibly. So that one, again, I hate to be a Debbie Downer, Will, but probably the most Wisconsin headline I saw all week.
No, Deborah, that's a good Wisconsin headline. It's something that needs to be noted, because we, as a culture, we do have a bit of an unhealthy relationship with alcohol. You know, we like to joke about all of those you know, graphs that show bars versus grocery stores per capita and how Wisconsin is every county has more bars than grocery stores. It's the only place in the country, you know, those type of memes. And, you know, ha ha ha, yes, it's funny, but it's not funny in the sense that alcoholism does really harm millions of Americans, millions of American families. And in Wisconsin in particular, we have been hit a little hard. So
folks, if you want to share a Wisconsin headline with us, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. Let's hear your next one for the week, Will.
I'll try to turn us back into the positive vibes that headlines of the week like to be focused on. But I will stick with a very Wisconsin topic in the sense that, you know, you mentioned cheese, right? Well, how about the cheese heads? We're going up to Green Bay, where I got a tweet from Matt Schneidman, who is the Green Bay beat writer for The Atlantic, noting that you got to tip your hat to Jason Wallers, who is the Green Bay Packers VP of communication, who booted an individual from practice yesterday for a fake credential. It said he was a Packers video intern. It looked very real, professional and everything. He had a camera with a Packers polo on, but the Packers had never heard of him and had no idea who this individual was.
Will, where were you yesterday? Where were you yesterday?
I was here.
What was your
alibi? That's why I'm saying that. I was here.
You could have took a picture of the background of your wall. Yeah, I never see you in person anymore. Like, I don't.
This tweet, Luke, came at 11:46 a.m., all right?
So you got booted and then promptly got on the air.
We started our prep at 11:45 a.m. and I was sitting here in Germantown.
Who did you say sent that tweet to you?
Well, he didn't send it to me. He posted it on Twitter. But
it's called X.
It was
now,
Matt,
and it's an X. Who sent the X to you?
It was posted on the platform formerly known as Twitter.
There you go.
By Matt Schneidman, the Packers beat writer for The Atlantic.
If you squint really hard at Matt Schneidman, it kind of looks like William Walter.
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying. Right. Like, literally, immediately after Will is like, oh, just fake it till you make it, I was going to just show up to the celebrity softball game and try to make my way onto the field. He's telling us a story about a Packers.
I'm speaking from anecdotal experience, Luke. I tried it. I tried it in Green Bay. It went really well for the first
time. What's your alibi? We got to get proof. We got to get
the first 2.5 minutes went incredibly, incredibly well until the VP of communications found me and
just
didn't recognize me and tossed me out. But
you were in last year's polo. That's why. See, they found you because you were sticking out with a different polo than the rest of the team. So similar in the vein of yours, I'm not going to take this one's not a Wisconsin headline. Well, we'll go to
social
media.
Luke, the joke that I originally wanted to go to was noting that the Patriots are coming to Lambeau on August 19th. And some of the memes, some of the comments were, you know, Bill Belichick's face with one of those googly-eyed mustache glasses on.
That was the intern.
Back.
Yeah, there you go. That makes sense, too. But go into social media for this one, not the platform formerly known as Twitter. This one over at Facebook. Honorable mention for our friends over at Hawks Bar and Grill here on State Street, right down the road from our new Civic Media headquarters. Not a headline, but a very Wisconsin Post Burger of the Month here in August. The Tailgate Burger. It's one fresh beef patty, one brat patty, two slices of American cheese, haystack onions, and a homemade Spotted Cow burger sauce. And I was like, I saw that. That was a pretty Wisconsin Post. You got a brat patty, a burger patty, and some beer cheese or beer sauce. That sounds like a good burger of the month. So head over to our friends and sponsor here at WMDX, Hawks Bar and Grill on State Street. Folks, you're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. If you want to share your Wisconsin headlines, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Cruz on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News brief. Experts reenacting the mass shooting at the high school in Parkland, Florida. And that massacre in 2018, part of a civil lawsuit. Democrat Jared Moskowitz was one of 9 members of Congress to tour the campus early this morning.
I want to thank the families for walking us through the building today and allowing us the opportunity to get
a slight glimpse into what they deal with every single solitary day.
In New York's Gilgo Beach murder investigation, a positive ID has been made on the remains of a woman dating back to 1996, D.A. Ray Tierney.
In October of 2022, using a buccal swab from a relative of Karen Vergata, we were able to definitively identify her.
In Moscow, a Russian court sentences the jailed opposition leader Alexei Navalny to an additional 19 years in prison on extremism charges. CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. For the first time in 4 years, hate crime charges have been filed in Milwaukee. 34-year-old Miracle Reed and 30-year-old Peyton Smith are accused of committing a hate crime by attacking a group of Muslim women. The incident occurred on Sunday and was captured on video and circulated on social media. Police say Reed and Smith forcibly removed the victims' headscarves and physically attacked them. State fair officials have moved up the cutoff time for teens and kids to be at the fairgrounds by themselves. To get in the fair after 5 p.m., anyone under the age of 18 must be accompanied by a parent or a guardian. Brookfield native Joe Thomas will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame tomorrow. He started his football journey playing for Brookfield Central and played professionally for the Cleveland Browns. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. Today is Friday, which means it's best Wisconsin headline of the week. If you have a oh-so Wisconsin headline you'd like to share with us, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Luke, I see, is that Remy on the couch in the background on your screen?
Day two.
We have the pup in the office. I have reported, confirmed actually, sightings based on my eyes.
If you're watching on the Facebook live stream, folks, you will see one sleepy dog just chilling on the couch behind me.
I love Luke.
I love you too, Will.
Okay. No, I'm saying I loved the conversation that was on socials this week about revolving around dogs, and people were arguing, you let your dog on the couch, And a lot of the responses were like, bro, I'd let my dog borrow my car if he asked.
Dude, my dog sleeps like on my head some days. Like same. He'll just choose to curl up in a ball like on my pillow while I'm still using my pillow. So it's like, yeah, dog's got free reign. Dog runs the house.
This is my dog's home as well. They live here, and I think it's kind of barbaric to ban them from sitting on the furniture that was purchased and designed for comfort. So that you aren't walking around in your own home all day.
At the same time, like if your dog is only like that is their entire world, like your house is their entire world. And so if you're gonna even restrict that space smaller to them, it'd be like no going on the couch. I'm like, what? Stop it. So
I'm gonna take the bold stance, Luke, then of you shouldn't have a pet if you're going to be preventing them from having.
I'm not gonna tell people how to do it. It doesn't make sense to me. That's all. So, but we're talking Wisconsin headlines of the week. 844-967-2789. If you've got one to share with us, we want to hear it. You can call or text. And if you're listening to Town Call right from the Civic Media app, you can do it right from the app as well. You can just right on the interface, brand new update. If you haven't updated your app yet, go ahead and do so. 844-967-2789 or engage with the show right off of the app. We're doing Wisconsin headlines. Just finished my burger one. Honorable mention for Hawks Bar and Grill. Head over, grab the August Burger of the Month. It's not just a Wisconsin headline this week. You can have it all August long. But what is your next one, Will?
All right. Back to me. I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel right here. Governor Tony Evers says Wisconsin's slate of fake electors should face prosecution. Now, this story came out about an hour ago, so I am on
I had it, and I was excited because that was the next one I was going to because you told me you were going Packers again. So doing a little zigging and zagging, I guess. Instead.
A little zigging and zagging, yeah. Well, you know, it was sitting right here for me. I had to capitalize before I let you take the freebie.
Hang on, I gotta real quick before we discuss this topic. There's a more Wisconsin version of this story, though, of the headline, and I have to get it in before you start discussing it. And so, Your Honor, may I? I'm not asking you. You're the other side. I'm asking if the judge will allow it.
Sustained.
All right.
Motion sustained. Okay. Whatever you say. Yeah. I don't know.
It's not overruled. That's all that I care about. Here we go. Nope, that's not the one. This is the most Wisconsin headline of the week regarding fake electors. Also over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, written up by Molly Beck, Wisconsin fake elector scheme is at the center of the Donald Trump indictment. And it's important. This is the more Wisconsin headline surrounding this story this week. Because it alludes to the fact Wisconsin is the center of the political universe once again. And yes, so we've got an update with the governor chiming in on it, which is the viewpoint that you're going to share with us, Will. But this is the more Wisconsin headline of this topic.
It certainly is, but we also covered this piece within the past 2 days. I thought it was double dipping to go back again. I wanted to have a fresh approach. Like Molly did an excellent job with this piece, but it was such a good piece that we had to cover it when it originally happened. And Luke is trying to like dig up old stories that we've already talked about.
It's important to mention the most Wisconsin headlines of the week during the edition of Town Call that is titled the most Wisconsin headlines of the week. How's that double
words have meanings. Words have meaning. That is fair. But reading over from the piece at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, 10 Wisconsinites who participated in a scheme to claim the state's 10 electoral votes for President Donald Trump should be charged and held accountable, Governor Tony Evers said Wednesday. Quote, well, no, there has to be accountability, the Democratic governor said when asked by Milwaukee Journal Sentinel whether he would feel confident in the state's elections going forward if the 10 fraudulent electors don't ultimately face charges. What they did was wrong, and so I'm hoping somebody will pick up the banner here because this has to happen. The piece does note Donald Trump's relationship to the story, as he is accused by a federal grand jury of organizing a conspiracy to steal the 2020 election from President Joe Biden, with strategies that included organizing slates of fraudulent electors in seven states, including Wisconsin, to claim the electors for Trump despite the outcome of the election. Wisconsin is among several states highlighted in a sweeping federal indictment handed down Tuesday.
Yeah, and so this... it's going to be interesting. I think it's also important to point out it's not just 10 fraudulent electors. There are more Wisconsinites than just these 10 that signed the paperwork that helped contribute to this conspiracy. There was the room in the Wisconsin Capitol on December 14th of 2020 when the real slate of electors, the duly elected slate of electors, met to cast their electoral votes for Joe Biden. The same time that was happening, a room that was reserved in the Wisconsin Capitol by then Senate Majority Leader and Congressman-elect Scott Fitzgerald. Somebody in his office was responsible for reserving that room so that these individuals committing conspiracy. It's Friday, folks. It's almost the weekend. But these 10 individuals had help. They received they met at an undisclosed location before going to that room in the Wisconsin Capitol that was reserved for them by Congressman-elect Fitzgerald. They met at an undisclosed location, and they had armed security take them to the Capitol that day. You had individuals trying to get these. Somehow they ended up in the hands of somebody on U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's staff. Those individuals help contribute to this conspiracy. There are other attorneys. The six unindicted co-conspirators that were mentioned in the Trump indictment on Tuesday, some of them have Wisconsin ties. And so, like, just saying this is 10 individuals is letting other people off the hook. There needs to be accountability for everybody involved in this scheme.
It takes a village, Luke. Conspiracy as well. Raising a child, good or bad, takes a village.
This isn't just freedom of speech. This isn't just saying the election was stolen. This is an effort to overturn the results of the duly elected president Joe Biden got the 10 electoral votes. And it was an effort to try to overturn that process here in Wisconsin and several other battleground states.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to note as well, Luke, that the indictment makes several references to the November 18th, quote, Wisconsin memo and a December 6th, 2020 fraudulent elector memo.
Green Bay sweep. It's taking a Packers term. Center
can't
of
make it up.
The electoral scheme here in Wisconsin and in several battleground states is the center of the indictment that we learned about in D.C. court earlier this week. And so, yes, Wisconsin is once again the center of the political universe over and over and over. Boy, is it getting exhausting to be the center of the political universe so frequently, Will.
Well, would you rather be at the center or would you rather be, on the fringe and never matter? I don't know. It's we can speak negatively about the energy.
I don't know what that's like. Maybe it gives individuals a little bit more peace of mind. I don't know, but it's
certainly easier to sleep at night, but it's gives us a lot less to talk about.
We could find something to talk about. All right, so I think we kind of went back and forth there with the fraudulent elector aspect of the Wisconsin headlines. We both shared one, so I believe the ball is back in your court, Will.
Well, how about would you like me to go back to my Packers reference then? Since
where
since
I thought
you
were going, I thought
Green
that
Bay
one was safe. I thought that one was safe, but
so this is a half and half, but it does relate back to the Packers. CBS News Chicago had a piece yesterday. Two former Northwestern football players claim hazing included watermelon eating contests for black players. The end of the piece. Now, this story has received national attention as well. Northwestern Athletics, not just their football program, where head coach Fitzgerald was fired last month. But I believe their baseball program also had a number of individuals come forward and say, like, yes, these incidents were occurring. Hazing was a major, major problem at the university. But how it relates back to Wisconsin in this particular situation, These two lawsuits are the first to name former Northwestern athletic director Mark Murphy as a defendant, accusing him of negligence for failing to prevent the hazing. Obviously, now Murphy is the president and CEO of the Green Bay Packers. If you recall, Pat Fitzgerald was rumored to be on the head coaching shortlist when we hired Matt LaFleur a couple of years ago. So Northwestern was, you know, pretty heavily involved with the Green Bay Packers staff. And this is unacceptable. If these individuals were aware of the aggressive hazing that was occurring, again, accountability, right? People need to be held responsible for their actions. When you are at the head of an institute of higher education, such as Northwestern or any institution of higher learning in the United States, you need to be protecting your student athletes. And it's pretty evident that Northwestern failed to do so.
Yeah. And I want to also point out a lot of these revelations coming from student reporting on Northwestern's mm-hmm. campus. Mm-hmm. And so hats off to that school of journalism and those students that found out about these very horrible acts and reported them. And now we are going to learn, hopefully through investigating, the extent of the wrongdoing in that campus. And it's something that needs to be discussed, though, because I doubt that it's a one-off in Northwestern. I unfortunately believe there's probably a lot more of this on college campuses around the country, and it's something that needs to be talked about.
And it's been going on for years. That's the other point that needs to be noted, Luke. These two lawsuits filed in Cook County Circuit Court by two anonymous players who were on the team during the 2004 and 2005 seasons, right? So a lot of the attention that this has received nationally has been for instances that happened in the past couple of years. Well, no, this is going back 15, 16, 17 years, noting former head coach Pat Fitzgerald, who was the team's recruiting coordinator and linebackers coach at the time, both knew of and encouraged this behavior. So this is systemic. This is within the entirety of the program. And then this individual, you know, rose to the rank of head coach, and it's assumed that the behavior continued based on other students who have come out and said that they have dealt with this, and it's unacceptable.
Yeah. Staying in the vein of college sports, Will, I fear that Wisconsin and some of our Midwest neighbors may have extended our Midwest hospitality a little bit too far as well, because we've got a headline out today that the Oregon Ducks and the Washington Huskies are going to be joining the Big Ten as well. And this is just now the Big Ten is probably going to need a rebrand. I doubt it's going to be the Big Ten. This is going to be like 18 teams
now. Should we call it the Big Tent, or should we call it like the Big 40?
The Big Tent Conference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just find two more and even it out. Just make it a Big 20.
Just call it the Big Conference.
The Big Conference. Literally. But if you look at the map, because if you're on social media, you could also see the map of all of the different locations. Wisconsin pretty much smack dab in the middle. Because this is going to be a coast-to-coast conference now, like all the way from Washington to Rutgers in New Jersey, like UCLA, USC. It's insane that this conference is going to be huge, and I just...
Consolidation of markets, Luke. It's going to be the Big Tent Conference versus the SEC, and that's going to be the all there is in college sports.
The Midwest hospitality, it went too far. It just, it got extended too far. I can't... Imagine like being a student at Rutgers and you gotta like prepare
travel
to go
out to Oregon.
Yeah, you gotta prepare for a game in UCLA one weekend, and then you got another one in Washington 2 weeks later, and just flying back and forth across the country. Folks, this is Town Call. If you want to share some Wisconsin headlines with us, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We're gonna be right back.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit. Because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge. By cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me, and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear this afternoon with a high of 82. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows level off around 62. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Highs around 83. Low 80s Sunday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Cooler Monday with highs in the upper 70s and scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 79 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Cruz. 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Hallelujah, it's Friday, 'cause I've been working all week.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call. It is Friday, hallelujah, the absolute best Wednesday of the week. And we are talking Wisconsin headlines of the week. If you have an oh-so Wisconsin headline you'd like to share with us, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I have been informed that it is, in fact, my turn once again, my favorite turn of the game. And I'm going to go to a piece from Wisconsin Public Radio, Luke. And it was published last Friday. I had it on my list, but I didn't have the opportunity to get to it. So I'm going to make sure I touch on it today. Green Bay Paper Mill becomes first certified as net zero for water use. Company executive says unique partnership with wastewater utility has reduced water use and pollution in the Fox River. Reading over from the piece, while Green Bay is a national leader in paper production, the paper industry has left an environmental stain on the Fox Valley region and Lake Michigan. But Wisconsin's newest paper mill, opened by Green Bay Packaging in 2021, is striving for a cleaner model. Last year, it was validated as a net zero water user, meaning it has low consumption of water and returns the same amount of water it uses to the Fox Valley watershed. The company's corporate director of environment and sustainability recently appeared on Wisconsin Public Radio's The Morning Show to discuss the new mill and was quoted as saying, "We look at designing to include the environment. Sometimes that can be challenging, but we do put in energy efficiencies and we also do water reductions and recycling on sites to reduce those footprints. We also internalize our scrap systems so they're less particulate matter. So we do things to improve our footprint." Good work, Green Bay. It's not going to solve everything, but it's the start. It's better than nothing.
I had that headline on here, too. And I'm going to piggyback off of it. Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off of it because this next one over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is pretty cool because of, in part, I would say, efforts like those that you described. This one published back on August 1st earlier this week, written up by Jeff Bollier over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Bird not seen in Wisconsin for 178 years. Spotted in Green Bay Nature Area. So because of efforts to clean up the heavily polluted areas, because as you pointed out, the paper industry, before some of these efforts, some of the larger contributors in Wisconsin to water pollution, and now we're seeing some of these, this conscious effort to address the concerns that our environment has, making changes. 178 years. A bird that hasn't been here since pretty much Wisconsin became a state. Before Wisconsin came a state. I can't do math. I wanted to say we're in our 175th birthday right now. So 3 years. This bird was last here, Will, when we were a territory, I believe. I don't do math on the radio, but I believe that.
Is that, did you say 179 years?
178.
So that'll put us, in the mid-1840s.
Yeah. So.
Though with Wisconsin's recent, we do have an abortion ban from the late 1840s. So
that is,
I don't know.
That is true. But this piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, northeastern Wisconsin birdwatchers have flocked to a Green Bay nature area for a gander at a bird not seen in Wisconsin for almost 180 years. Hats off to the reporter on that one. A roseate spoonbill arrived on the shores of Green Bay on July 26 and continues to draw Wisconsin birdwatchers and curious onlookers almost a week later. The bird's light pink feathers and flattened spoon-shaped bill help it stand out among the egrets and other shoreline birds that populate the Cat Island Restoration Area and Ken Ewers Nature Area on Green Bay's northwest side. So that's pretty cool. Bird that hasn't been here in nearly two centuries coming back to the Green Bay area.
I Googled it. That is a beautiful but very funky looking bird. That would definitely catch my eye. That is fascinating.
Especially if you were a birder and being like, this is more rare than Halley's Comet here in Wisconsin.
That's a great article, Luke. Good find.
There we go.
As long as we're talking nature, then I guess I'll continue that one. I've had this one teed up for a few weeks now, but I didn't know how to necessarily approach it because I'm trying to avoid spoilers. But a Bayfield County farmer survived 19 days in the Canadian wilderness as a contestant on a History Channel televised survival competition that I'm not going to name in case
somebody else wants to watch it. No spoilers. No spoilers. No,
right. But not she said she wasn't scared.
Go ahead.
She said she wasn't scared. She could just be her own person out there. And that's, good work, Wisconsin. Wisconsin survivalist lasting 19 days out in the Canadian wilderness. I tell you what, Luke, I don't think I would survive 19 days in my backyard. I don't think I would survive 19 hours in my backyard. I am not very well versed in survival. So good for her. Great work.
Yeah. Aaron, how long do you think you could survive outdoors?
Well, in my backyard, definitely not very long, because what the heck are you going to eat in your backyard if you can't go inside? So, yes, you're right. You wouldn't survive that long in your backyard.
You got 3 days then, right?
Yeah. If you're just out in the woods, I think my primary goal, like any time I've thought about wilderness survival, it's always been about how do I get back to civilization, not how do I live off the land.
How long do you stay out there? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I'm not sure. I think
I could probably do... I'd give myself 72 hours. I could stay.
Weren't you an Eagle Scout?
Yeah, and it's a little rusty, but the food problem would probably be what it comes down to. I don't know how well I could hunt for myself with just like some of these contestants are dropped off with like a thing of flint and that's it. And it's like, okay, good luck. Maybe a rope or maybe like some kind of burlap sack, but that's all that you get dropped off. Just because I'm an Eagle Scout doesn't mean that I can like go and hunt for my own food and do all of that stuff. That's the like wilderness survival scouts or something like that. That's different.
They just give the Eagle Scout badge to anybody these days. No, I'm kidding.
Aaron's like, yeah, I was out there killing squirrels, making sure that I could be an Eagle Scout. No, like at a certain point, maybe 48 hours. But
I don't know. I'm chronically online. I would last about 19 minutes, and then I'd be like, wait.
However
Who's
long
tweeting
you've
about
gotten
my location.
A phone charge. Yeah, however long you've gotten a phone charge, that's how long Will can last. My final one, I know we're coming to the end of the show here. UW to sell alcohol at Kohl Center, Laban Arena, starting this season. So UW taking a policy that was allowed for the suites and the guest like boxes, now going to serve alcohol at the Kohl Center for Badger hockey and basketball games. It'll be interesting to keep an eye on that. Again, folks, drink responsibly. All right. I think that is all of the Wisconsin headlines we've got time for. We're going to have to leave it up into Aaron's hands now for some judgment on this Friday afternoon here on Town Call.
All right. Quick judgment recap day. For Luke, alcoholism deaths, Hawks Burger of the Month, Wisconsin being the center of the political universe, the Big Ten, 178-year-old bird. That's not exactly what it is, but, you know, Kohl Center alcohol. For Will, we have Dan Schaefer's celebrity softball. The fake videographer, Evers about the fake electors, Northwestern University hazing, and the paper mill with net zero water waste. This is a tough one. I think I am going to have to go with... I'm gonna have to go with Will. I'll explain more later because we don't have time.
What? All right. All right.
Chalk it up, Luke. Chalk it up.
Keep it interesting. Yeah. Now you're still only... What? You're one behind, I believe?
You talk a lot for a guy who's only one game above 500.
Okay, folks, Town Call will be back tomorrow or on Monday, 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, Bert.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos, chicken on a stick, deep-fried old-fashioned, or pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.